Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume, improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit RackPorcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table. Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume. Improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Phones off. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hello, food fam. This is the Walk and Talk podcast. I am your host, Carl Fiadini. We're podcasting on-site at Cahaba Club Farm in Keystone, Florida. That is Keystone, not Odessa, nowhere else. It is Keystone, baby. On this episode, we are with executive chefs Byron Gable and Cliff Heil from Maple Brook Mushroom Farm. That's right. They are mushroom farmers. They were chefs. This is going to be a good one. Let's talk about how a chef blossoms into the farmer life. Mushroom pro tip, high heat. Okay, let's dig in. But first, our sponsor today. Attention chefs and purchasing personnel in hotels, restaurants, and country clubs. Pezzecchi's Produce and Specialty Foods is your one-stop destination for quality, service, and a growing selection of specialty food products. I'm going to say service twice because you get taken care of, period. Get with Brian and company. You will not be disappointed. Contact them on their website, farmfreshfl.com. All right, let's welcome Walk and Talk culinary contributor, Chef Jeffrey Schlissel of the Hollywood Schlissels to the panel. Woo-hoo. Jeff, how you doing, my man?
I'm absolutely fantastic,
man. What's up with the high heat, bro? What is this?
You know, it's going back when I was being trained in culinary, it was everything that you had to make sure you sear that mushroom, because mushrooms are, you know, primarily water content, moisture content, 70 to 80%. But I only play a mushroom grower on TV. These guys are like the experts right across from me.
All right. So then what are we talking about, man? Like, what's with the high heat, Chef?
You got to get that water out of there.
Why?
He just said it.
What? I mean, but so listen.
So you get the Maillard effect.
Let's not be all snooty executive chef. Let's pretend that like the people listening don't know what's going on in the kitchen, brother.
You're going to have a rubbery mushroom.
Hell yeah. All right. So we don't want
no flavor.
We don't want rubbery mushrooms. We don't want that
at all.
That's
what people don't like about mushrooms. If someone tells you I don't like mushrooms, it's because they don't like it squeaking in their teeth.
Well, you know,
it has nothing to do with the flavor.
I agree with that. But I feel like that comes from like mushrooms in a can. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like people who would say that, it's because they're eating something out of, you know.
Or they're cooking it like it was, you know what I mean?
True story.
Coming from a can.
Right. I mean, the best way to look at it is if you take a fresh button mushroom and put it in your mouth, it's going to squeak because it doesn't have that. It's not been cooked. And we learned from the two brothers, and they're going to talk about it too. You have to heat mushrooms for certain reasons. And I think that's primarily the goal.
That's right. Not a lot of people understand that you have to cook a mushroom to get it the full nutritive effect from it. And raw mushrooms are really, I can't say they're bad, for, you know, not good for you, but all of our products we cook, you want to cook. Even if we make like extracts of like the, you know, you want to actually have some kind of a cooking process in a dried or a tincture or so to get the full benefit of it.
What so you guys are actually doing you're breaking these mushrooms down too? Like what do you mean by that?
Yeah, we do some further processing on them. Growing the gourmet mushrooms for chefs is one side of the business. There's a whole nother side that in healthcare, as far as making
like the powders
and tinctures. They call them functional mushrooms.
Okay.
As you know, the big craze right now for like lion's mane is all about healing nerves. There's a huge push right now for reishi mushrooms. You see my shirt, that's a reishi. They're really good for your circulation, your heart. There's so many benefits. Now the reishi, they don't taste great. They're bitter. So
most like
people,
my ex-wife,
most people make like tea or something with it, or, you know, you make a tincture, you just put a few drops on your tongue or whatever. But that's where I became sold on mushrooms is I started taking supplements early on in my career. I started taking like powdered mushroom supplements and I noticed a difference, a marked difference in just my energy levels and just the way I felt.
And that was probably, whatever you were taking back then, it probably wasn't, you know, to the grade that kind of what you're putting out now, right?
I mean, exactly.
You got to think a lot of that stuff was just mass produced or something to that effect. I'm guessing.
Yeah. There's some good companies out there who are making these things.
I don't trust anybody anymore.
I get that, but it's like, if you can grow it yourself, there's always a huge advantage to that. But Cliff and I got into this business, not for that functional mushroom side of it. That was just a bonus. Hold on a second.
Cause you're so I just found out Cliff was a chef today. So, and again, I apologize. I didn't know.
No problem.
This is to me, the fascinating part of about what you're doing is that you guys were like, I know you were in the kitchen for 30 years.
Yeah.
You know, how long, Cliff, how long were you in the kitchen?
Around 20 years.
Yeah. Like that's your lifestyle.
Today's his 38th birthday, by the way.
Happy birthday, my brother.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, happy birthday. You're spending your birthday with us on the... That's awesome. Isn't that happy birthday.
On the farm.
Going to work after this.
Ow! So, I mean, you have this lifestyle. And then one day you're like, screw this. I'm growing mushrooms. Can you walk me through... How did you guys meet? What was the path? How did you get here?
So, Cliff actually owned a company and he used to grow and sell microgreens, which is funny that we're on Cahaba clubs because
competition.
So Marvin was, you know, like big competition for Cliff in a way. But the funny thing was like when I was a chef, I bought from Cliff and I bought from Marvin. You know what I mean? So it's like people don't realize, and we kind of know this as mushroom farmers too, that like you don't really have to worry about your competition too much because there's so much business to be had.
Right.
You can go to farmers markets. You can go to, you know what I mean? There's so many different venues.
Distributor.
Grocery tip. Stores. I mean.
Distributor tip. The fact is, it's good to have another company. It's good to have a rival. No, I'm saying like, it's good to have the other company that you're battling against. Because one company isn't going to always have what you want.
Yeah.
And all that's going to happen is you're going to disappoint and disappoint and disappoint. Where if you have a strong competitor, it keeps everybody level. And if you can't produce, well, guess what? They can get it from the other guy.
Yeah.
And it's no harm, no foul. I'm okay with it because you're taken care of. And you know what? I didn't have to go, you know, walk over hot coals or something like that to get it done. You know what? If that's what makes it easier, I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
You know, so I didn't mean to cut you, but yeah, I mean, that's distributor pro tip.
And Cliff, you would sell out your whole... I mean, you would sell out every week of microgreens.
Every week. Absolutely.
There right? So it wasn't
no problem
like,
either.
Yeah. And so Cliff and I, we knew each other for years. And
back then, I was always talking about wanting to grow mushrooms.
He did. So. And I remembered that. Yeah, it was funny because, so anyway, I started growing mushrooms as a hobby while I was still a chef. And I realized the quality of what I was growing was way better than anything I could buy. And you know, that's one of the things too that we tell our chefs is, let me give you a sample. You take my mushrooms at $12 a pound and tell me what you get out of it, what yield you get out of it, because you're probably getting 80% out of our oyster mushrooms, whereas I buy it for $6 a pound from the big distributor, and yet guess what? I'm getting 20% yield out of it. So actually, at $12 a pound, my mushrooms are actually cheaper than the $6 a pound mushrooms.
I'm going to add to this, and I might have said this to you, Chef Jeff, a few weeks ago or whatever, but I went over to Chef Byron's house. And, you know, this is like in the beginning when he just started, he was out of his garage and he's like, he loaded me with just tons of, like, I'm like, I'm not going to eat all this. He goes, no, take it. We're a few bourbons in or whatever. He's like, take it all. Okay. So obviously we cooked, we ate. I had a couple of clams in there that were in there for like 2 weeks.
That's the other thing.
But they were.
The shelf life. Yeah.
They were like untouched.
Yeah.
It was beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. And nobody would, like, if I would have handed that off as, you know, fresh from the field or whatever, or the container or whatever, guess what? Nobody would question it.
Yeah.
Because they were that good.
Yeah.
That's the other thing, is our stuff doesn't go through another distributor. We basically take it right to the chef and hand it to him. So what you're getting is picked.
You're saving another three or four days.
Yeah. Sometimes, yeah. When we get done with this today, we're going to go pack up and deliver to a restaurant. They're going to be coming right off the wall, you know, essentially right off of the blocks and then straight to the restaurant. You'll have a 2 week shelf life on something that you would buy from someone else, and you'd have maybe days, you know, maybe. Right.
And they haven't been thrown around from truck to truck to trailer to into the back.
But it's also being kept on the right temperature, because if you're going to do the big broadliner, they don't care. They're just going to wrap it
those
up in saran wrap and
those
put them in there.
Those trucks are cold, man.
Yeah, so they're not being stored properly. And I'll be honest with you, and you know this, the big box guys, they're loading that truck at 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. And yes, it might not hit that guy's dock in the back dock until 12. Yep. And it's sitting in that cooler container at 30-something degrees, which it should not be, especially for mushrooms.
Along with the tomatoes.
Along with the tomatoes, the onions, and the potatoes.
Right.
So
yeah, that's why we used to buy our tomatoes just from a tomato guy, because he could keep his truck a little warmer than, you know what I mean, than the big distributors. So
50 degrees,
and that's where that niche is. And just like Marvin was saying with the basil, you know, you go, it's funny, and that's how I met Marvin. You know what, 12 years ago is that I had some, you know, I just moved here and I became the executive chef at the Hyatt here, and we had some micro basil and it had gone bad. And I called up Marvin, and because my sous chef told me, he's like, if you get bad basil from Marvin, call him and don't call the distributor. I called Marvin because he wants to know about it anyway.
Right.
And he showed up at the dock with brand new fresh basil plus gifts. You know what I mean? Because he knows how to take care of his chefs. And yep, that's us. We know how to take care of our chefs. We know the quality they want. And that's how the business was born, is essentially, it's like, you know what? I can see that this could be lucrative if we did this. And I called Cliff and said, hey man, what do you think about going into business together? And he said, yeah, let's talk, you know, because I know he had been wanting to do it. I knew his expertise. I needed some help. But he also, and he's got a lot of skill for other things too. He's got construction skill and he's built houses and stuff. And you need all that as a farmer. Just like Marvin said, he built all this. You have to be able to be very industrious to do those things. You need to have a pretty broad range of skills.
Yeah, you can't be only one dimensional in this life.
Well, no, chefs are MacGyver. We've said that before. Cliff definitely fits the bill.
Right. But then when you're doing this hybrid farmer chef thing, you know, it's even more.
It's the next level.
It's MacGyver squared. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
If you pay for everything to be done for you, you'd be broke real quick. So
true story.
You make way however you can. You try to do it yourself and save a lot of money in the long run.
Jeff, what's your favorite? What's your favorite mushroom?
Ooh, I love oyster mushrooms. I love lion mane, porcini, morels. He's got a couple in there that I'm wanting to look at too, because there's some gorgeous
freckled
stuff
freckled chestnut.
There.
Yeah,
you got to try the chestnut.
That's our favorite. So we grow right now. We have 8 varieties that we always have.
I think we're gonna get a live feed on that too.
Yeah, actually, we are right now.
So, well, basically, we grow Pepino mushrooms. There's two strains that we grow. The one that we have here today is a fatter strain, a wider cap. We also grow some that have nice long stems on them and smaller. They look kind of like a beach mushroom. But the flavor on those is fantastic, and they're similar to the chestnuts. You would love those, Jeff. Then we also grow oyster mushrooms. We have pink oyster mushrooms that we grow during the summer. The shelf life on those is not good, so we kind of use those. We tell our chefs to process those quickly. A lot of people will make like mushroom bacon with them, which is fantastic.
Oh, wait, what?
Mushroom bacon. You just treat it just like it's pork and cure it and smoke it, and it's unbelievable.
I know a guy that does bacon.
Awesome. I do too. What's his name? He's part of some like cartel.
Yeah.
The bacon cartel, right? I know that guy. That's this guy.
And then we grow a blue oyster mushroom.
Have to come check.
Oh, yeah. That's you're going to have to try our paints. I mean, actually, we're going to send you home with some and you can experiment.
I'll be honest with you. Sorry for interrupting. I had a friend of mine who called me out on LinkedIn. I do a vegan bone marrow. It's made from hearts of palm because I was cutting it one day.
I split it.
It looked like a canoe. So he tagged me on LinkedIn. And he goes, "This is an honor for you." And I'm like, and I looked, he used a king trumpet mushroom for the same way.
Interesting.
I was like, wow.
Yeah.
So
right now we're growing some king trumpets that are about at least a foot long.
So imagine like going to Burn Steakhouse and be I got a bone marrow that's vegan for you, and it's that trumpet mushroom. Like, that
would
just be amazing. Slicing,
or scallops.
Scallops.
Yeah. The scallops.
And yeah.
They really are tasty.
I mean, what are we still real doing good here? Let's go cook.
Marvin
already
left. Let's go inside.
Hey, we can cook it up right here. I mean, right here. Hey, Marvin, if you're listening, we're in your house.
We will be.
Wow. So
Sorry, okay. Chef.
So, favorite mushrooms for you two?
So, I think my favorite is probably the chestnut mushroom. It's the one at the very end there, Willie. It's called freckled chestnut. It's Foliota adiposa, that is.
Gesundheit?
What'd you call me?
Foliota adiposa.
Was that Ray Liotta?
It's,
is that what you said?
Or a hoser.
That mushroom is so good. Cliff and I both agree. I think that was that. And that's been most of the chefs that have gotten them have never had them before, number one. But number two, it's like that. It's just, it's so unctuous. It's like,
it's unbelievable.
If you put it into a soup, it actually kind of thickens it a little bit. Yeah. It has like a gelatinous quality to it, like a namiko.
Chef, say it a little slower.
Gelatinous?
Yeah.
You like that? Unctuous?
Can you actually, could you extract that like for like agar or one of those? Or have you tried that to utilize it?
I have not tried it, but it's a possibility. You could probably reduce that down and make some kind of like a mushroom gel or something with it.
I'm just thinking like hydrochloride.
Look at the chef mind. Yeah,
exactly,
there.
Right? The hydrochloride right there in my mind hydrochloride is one of the things we use to thickening things up, either agar.
I use that on my wife with the napkin. Isn't that? Oh, we're not talking about that? That's something else,
that's
isn't
for
it?
Knockout stuff.
I am only kidding.
No, you're not.
I am totally kidding.
I use dried porcinis to do that, thicken up. We have a mushroom ragu at the restaurant I'm at right now, and we use that to thicken up our sauce at the very end. It's like a marsala-based ragu, and it works great.
Oh yeah, Cliff had the idea, too, that we should start doing like a pink oyster powder, too, which would be interesting. You know what I mean? When you cook a pink oyster, it turns brown, but we don't know what it would do as a powder yet. We haven't really experimented with that, but we're going to. We're probably going to freeze-dry those.
Is there any value? I'm just saying.
What about dehydrating? Sorry.
Well, no, so that too, but can you like do like a pink Himalayan salt combo thing with the mushroom powder? Would that be
kind of
cool?
That's kind of the way we're shooting for, I think. So.
Yeah, that would be kind
of
cool.
Because imagine if you could have on the plate, instead of having a mushroom there, but you have the essence of the powder of the mushroom on the plate to give that color, that vibrant color, because that's some gorgeous color. Yeah. You
know? Yeah, the chestnuts also, that's one of the things we like. It makes a great powder. And it's, I would say it rivals porcinis, if not better. And we've only had about, since we've been in business, I started about 3 years ago. I think only once or twice have we had an excess of freckled chestnut that we hadn't sold. Because it took us a little while also to kind of tune the chestnut growing in. It's much harder to grow than other mushrooms. It takes three times as long as the other. Like the oysters take about 6 weeks. The chestnuts take about 3 months from start to finish. And so
wow.
It's and then the conditions in the grow room have to be just right. If you don't get, have your humidity, your fresh air exchange, and your exhaust and all, and your lighting and all that dialed in, you're just going to get crappy mushrooms.
I mean, I was fortunate to see what you were doing at home. And I know that you're not really there.
That was pretty ugly. That was the mushroom dungeon.
But it was badass. That was cool, man. I was geeked out with that. What are you talking about?
Yeah, it was pretty ugly. But it got us started, right?
You'll love the new place, that's for sure.
I wasn't invited yet. I haven't been.
It's coming soon.
But I will tell you this.
When you guys do farm tours, you need to call it the Mushroom Dungeon.
Wow. Yeah, that'll be something. You know, you got to do the bacon thing. Yeah. So listen, let's talk about food for a second. A couple of three chefs here, and I'm kind of an eater. You know, it's kind of what I do, right? When the hell am I going to get some food from you guys? I'm serious. You think I'm kidding? Like,
maybe some collaboration going on.
Yeah, man. Like, you heard me talking in the last.
I fed you before.
Yeah, no. Oh, at your house?
At the house.
Yeah. But that was like 10 years ago.
And at the restaurant many times.
Once.
We did walk and talks at
he's twice.
Catchers back there.
Chops once.
All right, twice. Whatever. There's two other chefs here.
You just found out he's a chef today.
I know. He should have already said, "Hey, man, if you want to like."
He's humble. True. He doesn't.
Listen, he came over to my house the other day, dropped off some stuff, and I was cooking already. And I'm like, "Here, taste this." And he's like, "Oh, that's really good." And I'm like, "Yeah, you wanted to come over for Thanksgiving?"
And I'm like, "You're making all this stuff, but okay, let's do a non-Thanksgiving day, right? Can we do that?"
Yeah, no problem.
Because
this weekend, you want to come over? I'll be throwing it down again this weekend.
Maybe.
Yeah. Talk to the
Don't
wife.
Threaten me.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's always hurdles somewhere.
And the little ones can come over too, because I have the 9-year-old, so they can come over. So my daughter will entertain your kids. So it's not where the dogs will
my
if we get the second
make
dog.
Your kids run away.
That's fine.
That's what it is. What we're gonna do? hold on a second. Yes. So what we're gonna do is. I want to talk about how soon with Jonathan Rodriguez, mm-hmm. Jeff, and a few of the other cats, Thomas Parker, mm-hmm. maybe Kevin Ho over at Slate in Orlando, and a few others.
What about Jimmy down in St. Pete?
Jimmy and Anthony over at Universal, the DoubleTree at Universal.
Oh, yeah, Anthony.
Like, we're connected with a bunch of really good chefs. And I was making mention of this in the last session. With Marvin, I want to do some walk and talk, you know, chef alumni, you know,
throw down.
Somebody's calling here. Let's see what this is all about.
To make it like an event, right? You can invite.
Yeah. Because listen, you can have like probably 100 people in here.
Right.
Easily.
Exactly.
People in here. And he's just got, that lake is just beautiful with the koi and the catfish that he was feeding earlier today. When Seriously. We came out,
it's a beautiful place, man.
I mean, it definitely is. I mean, he's got the smoker and the grill right behind you guys. I don't know if you saw that.
Oh, yeah. He's done events here already, right? He had the ACF here.
Yeah, we were out here for that as well. It was, I think, good God, maybe 80 people to 100.
Yeah, I mean, the way he's set up here, you could do fundraisers, all
that's
kinds
what
of
I was
stuff.
Which, like,
and
charity
then,
well,
and that's what, yeah, that's what it sounds like.
I did. Oh, is there another chef on the phone?
There might be a fourth. Oh my God,
do we have a. Chef Jonathan, you on the phone?
The guy who won.
Where is he? He's there. He's on this. Hold on. Keep talking.
So yeah, behind you, that frame that was right behind you guys, that was a whole tent that they did for the ACF Tampa. They came out and they did a whole function out here. It was like 80, 90 people.
Yeah,
something like
at
that.
At least.
And then you got this whole thing right here where he's got that. Growth over there, that's just beautiful too, right? Center stage from the house. But it's gorgeous because there's so many different things you can have here.
Yeah,
especially
he's
that lake
he's done
there.
A great job with this property. You know, it's funny, I my first time here, but I had seen it on your videos and some of the other you know, episodes that you had here. But yeah, it's better, much better. Marvin has really done such a great job with this place, and it's very, very awesome.
From
so,
the
yeah,
first,
we would help you with your event, Carl. We would cook.
I totally want to do this. And, you know, we've got a little technical thing going on here. I was trying to have Chef Jonathan call in, but we can't tie it in. Yeah, he's, you know, it's a place where we can, I would love to do it here on the farm. I would like to do one over at Sally Mar at the rooftop.
That's a gorgeous location if you haven't been down to Midtown. Midtown Tampa is just, it's just up and coming.
Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
Jeff, I want to get Jonathan on the phone. I want you guys to talk about how freaking awesome Walk and Talk is. No, I'm kidding. I want you to,
I want to talk about his shirt because I'm not even high or anything, and that shirt has got me like tripping.
Me too.
My birthday present this morning for my wife.
I love it. Where did she get that thing, man?
I'm not sure, actually. It's a good question. Mushroom fractals.
What happened that you said and threw the thing and said just mushrooms? What was it about mushrooms that you just gravitated to become a farmer?
I started out by wild foraging. And
here in Florida?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You and I need to talk then.
Yeah, me and my wife and I would take my kids in backpacks when they were real young, and we'd go just wander through different parks and trails and stuff and find mushrooms. A lot of them aren't even edible, but we just loved them so much. So I kind of grew my passion for mushrooms right then. So then I started farming microgreens, and I thought, hey, you know what? I'd rather grow mushrooms. That's when I started talking to Byron about it, and then that just escalated, and here we are today.
And for you, Chef?
Yeah, I've always loved them from the culinary standpoint, and, you know, and they're expensive, and... you know, for good reason, but, you know, I started looking into, I've always been interested in farming. I've had great gardens and stuff, and I've always grown a lot of stuff, but mushrooms was kind of a mystery. So I really delved hard into it just to see what it entailed. And I started doing it as a hobby, and I didn't realize that I would be as successful as I was. I was surprised at the yields I was getting, and I just, I wanted to share it.
Yeah.
But I knew it could turn into a business, and I knew I wasn't going to be in the kitchen forever.
Right.
So I knew there was this possibility to turn it into a business, seeing the quality that was, you know, that we were growing.
I hear my brother from another mother, mi hermano.
All right. So
there we go.
We figured out the technical hiccup. Not sure what that is. Hashtag, I don't know.
Yeah. No. I was like, what's going on over here? Why do you keep playing phone tag?
I am surrounded. Literally surrounded by chefs. All right.
And
I
got,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, right. So Chef Jonathan Rodriguez is on the phone. He called in. Hey, welcome to the line, caller.
Thank you. What did I win? Did I win anything for K104?
You're live. You've won. Yeah, you won tickets to
me.
All right. So meet Chef Cliff and Chef Byron, who are actual mushroom farmers up here in the Tampa area, and we're having a blast over here. So I know that you're actually at work, and what do you got going on over there? You got something coming up for New Year's, something like that, a little something.
Yeah,
like?
So we definitely got something coming up for New Year's Eve. We are going to be having over 500 people at our rooftop. We have a VIP section that's going to be designated for about 250 people. It's going to have different food spreads. So we're doing prime rib. We're going to do whip mash. We're going to do Atlantic salmon. We're going to do a charcuterie. We're going to do a dessert table. Champagne toast.
You're like Oprah Winfrey over here. Like, you get an awesome dish. You get an awesome dish. Everybody gets an awesome dish. I get
everybody gets a slice of prime, you know, but it's going to be great. And then we are going to be working on getting a particular celebrity here. And we're going to have two great DJs, well-known DJs in the area. It's Mr. Fadani. Fadani.
Thanks.
And then, my pleasure. And we're working on getting other great essentials for New Year's Eve. But we are hosting a 6-hour drinking event. You can go on the Eventbrite and pretty much buy tickets through Eventbrite. And there's different scale levels that, you know, you will want to purchase, whether it's general admission for the non-premium liquors, that, you know, of course, that price ranges, which I don't know off the top of my head, please forgive me.
Price doesn't matter.
All the way up, right? But we are hosting something that
Jonathan,
nobody is
nothing
doing.
Can stop us. We are all the way up.
Yeah, and that's what I said, and I bought a DJ Khaled shirt. And then felt that way. So, you know, it's moving up.
If John knew how to work the button, we can do the DJ Khaled horn. We can do it, but
yeah, John's shaking his head.
Shaking his head. He's like, hell no, not
another one.
It's not
another
happening.
Yeah, and I don't own that word, another one. Just say it out so I don't get
stupid. It's all good, man.
But but that's the great things that we're doing at Sally Mar. We're gonna do pass hors d'oeuvres all night. You know, and it's just gonna be rocking, man. It's gonna be really fun. And that's just something that we're going to be hosting. So, you know, there's
where do you find tickets or how do you get in?
So you're going to go on eventbrite.com and then it should be posted by Saturday. It will be just look up Sally Mar on New Year's Eve.
And by the way, that's Sal, S-A-L-Y-M-A-R. Sal Imar.
Space.
Yeah, spaces. Yes.
Right. Salt and sea.
Huh? Yes.
Salt and sea.
That's nice.
Yes.
Ocean and salt.
And
so,
you know, what's great about his place is that you can don't have to worry about driving back home. You can get a hotel room there.
True story.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. We sit right on top of two Marriotts, which is beautiful. We sit on top. And we actually have some tickets that are equipped with the actual hotel stay. So, you know, we want to keep everybody safe while they're drinking and having a great time, right?
That's correct. So, everybody out there, if you're listening to this awesome podcast, you need to get to Sally Mar for New Year's Eve because it's live. Go to, what was the website again?
Eventbrite.com. Yep.
Get over to eventbrite.com. Get your tickets.
Well.
Get over and see Chef Jonathan Rodriguez over at Sally Mar.
I'm going to go see J-Rod with some mushrooms.
Hell yeah.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. Dude. Yeah.
So, fun fact, really quick about the mushrooms.
Wait a second. Hold on a second. So first of all, Chef Byron just a real quick historical fact. When I moved up here to the Tampa Bay area, he was the former executive chef over at the Grand Hyatt here in Tampa Bay, and it was Chef and another gentleman who gave me. They were my first premier number one El Numero Uno style client. Here when at my last company.
Yeah, I actually forgot about that.
Yeah, we're not mentioning who that was.
But that was Mark.
Mark Medeiros. Yeah.
Mark brought you in and purchasing director.
Correct.
So
you guys
we had a long meeting. It was like
it was a big
deal.
You
worked hard, Carl. I remember you worked hard for
still
that.
Working hard.
Yeah.
Jeez. God, it doesn't end. It really doesn't end. But Jonathan. So Byron and I go back a pretty long ways now, and he's a real cool cat. Like he's definitely part of the family, and I definitely want to introduce you to because I think it's a good connect for you.
No, I appreciate that. That'd be excellent. Like I was saying, the fun fact is that I'm allergic to mushrooms, but I can eat truffles. So yeah,
I'm so allergic to fish, but I can eat shellfish. Thank God.
Oh my God.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
But that's pretty much fun fact there.
Well, Julio can have the mushrooms then.
Yeah.
Did he find a cougar, by the way?
Yeah. Did he ever
What's
get
the
a
cougar update on Julio?
Yeah, we need to get an update on that. We need the
411
on Julio.
Julio has not yet found one, but I know that we're taking applications. That I know for sure.
If you're out there and you're a cougar and you're looking for a dashing young bartender, check out Julio over at Sally Mar, rooftop bar.
Only during the day, though.
Only during the day.
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit rackporcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table.
I love you guys. I'm going to have to get away because I have videographers coming in. And I thank you so much for reaching out.
What did you just say?
Videographers.
Whoa, he's cheating on us. He's cheating. I feel a little... It's kind of like when you went to a different barber or something like that. It's kind of like that.
They're coming to see our property and being audited right now.
Do you, baby. Make it happen. I appreciate you calling in.
I love you guys. Thank you so much.
I'll catch you later.
See you later, Jay.
Ciao.
Take care, bud. All right. Take care. Bye.
Just an awesome dude.
He really is. He's turned into a great ally and, you know. He's definitely part of the Walkie Talk family.
We haven't hit that Midtown area yet.
You need to.
We're in St. Pete.
It's hopping.
And because we sell out every week, we're like, okay, who's the next client? And like, we literally have like a waiting list of people who are like, you know, want our stuff that we can't
get to. We literally have a waiting list. Yeah, whatever, dude. Okay.
You want me to call the ambulance?
But that's, you know, ambulance. But we're ready. We just doubled our production in the last couple of weeks. And so we're ready to take on some new clients.
We're basically heading right into season right now. So every time we talk about adding another client,
our current clients are ordering more and more. Yeah, it's crazy.
It's pretty awesome.
Well, first of all, high quality problems, I know.
Yeah, first of all, that's awesome and congratulations. Because we just met Cliff, but if you're friends with Byron, then you're good people. So it couldn't have happened to a better bunch of cats.
He's been vetted.
Yeah. All right, good.
Appreciate it.
What do you have to say about this, Jeff?
I just love the fact that, you know, you can get these types of mushrooms grown by chefs. And we always talk about cheap, inexpensive, or what. And you said it, Chef Byron, you said it. Yeah, you might get a case of $6 oyster mushrooms. You cost $12. And that's the thing that we want to make sure that everyone understands. The yield you get between 20% and 80% is a huge difference, no matter what you're talking about.
Yep.
But when you're talking about mushrooms, especially something that, you know, mushrooms have this thing of being not a star.
Yeah.
And I think chefs are realizing the potentials that mushroom can be a star in itself.
Yes, for sure.
I love mushrooms. I don't know.
I mean, the brothers from Staphoria, they're the ones that taught me that in order to get the medicinal properties out of it, you have to heat the mushroom.
Yeah, I'd never heard that before either.
And, yeah, it doesn't. It just goes right through your system if you don't. Basically,
which, you know, it sucks a little bit because I actually like raw mushrooms.
I do too. I mean, but button mushrooms, you know, cremini or whatever on a salad, like I like on a Caesar salad or something, fantastic. But and I'll eat them raw. But like most of the mushrooms I grow, they're not even all that great raw. Honestly, you want to cook them to get the full flavor and benefit out of it. You know, use those button mushrooms for your raw mushrooms. And it's funny because we're actually growing our first batch of agaricus, the button mushrooms, just kind of as an experiment.
Did you see what he did there?
He used the science. True name.
He got all scientific nerdy geek on this. Yeah. Oh my god!
He went SAT on us.
I mean, wow. I could go a little deeper, but
thank God don't.
A lot of people don't understand that the cremini, the white big buttons, and the portobellos are all the same mushroom, just grown at different stages.
Correct. I knew that because I come from produce,
but those are all grown on poop, and everything we grow is saprophytic. There you go. See,
saprophytic
grows on dead wood.
What did he call me?
He called you saprophytic.
What did this guy call me?
Sounds like a disease.
But the cool thing is that what the media we grow on is waste product. So it's oak trees. You know, it's basically oak that's been felled or whatever. Oak, we can grow on oak pellets, and then farm byproducts like soy hulls or beet pulp or straw.
Real soy hole, you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Well, here's the holes thing that no one uses.
We haven't even talked about. It's, you mentioned earlier that you can eat your mushrooms right out of the package because of the way it's sterile.
Correct. Well, and that's the thing about mushrooms. We
got to talk about why you don't wash them and all that.
Yeah, you have to sterilize the substrate that you grow your mushrooms on because competitive funguses and will grow on there that are, you know, or molds or other things. So not a lot of people realize that you shouldn't wash your mushrooms. You should never wash your mushrooms. You should brush them off. You know, so even when you see that button mushroom you buy from the grocery store, it's got a little poop on it. You could literally eat that composted poop. I know it sounds terrible, but it's literally sterile. We cook our substrate for up to 18 hours.
I've eaten crappy food at home, but I didn't ever attribute it to the.
Well, don't eat it. Brush it off. But don't wash it. Listening. Please don't wash it. You don't want to add water to your mushrooms. That's kind of one of the worst things you can do. Button mushrooms from the grocery store, if you wash them, they won't take on as much liquid as like the oyster mushrooms and stuff, but you should never wash the mushrooms that we sell. You want them, we kind of take the humidity down a little bit as we're getting ready to harvest them, and then we in order to get a lower humidity content in the mushroom, and that helps the shelf life on them as well.
Shelf life, where should the mushrooms go within your walk-in then? Is it should be close to the fan? Should it be away from the fan, by the door, should by the freezer door? Where should you store them?
Like 37, 38 degrees is about.
So in the middle of the close. Cooler.
Yeah, not underneath the fan.
Yeah, definitely not.
And not below, underneath the chicken, raw chicken.
Definitely underneath the chicken. That's
for sure.
Goes,
right? Where you should be keeping
right before the health inspector walks in, right?
Yeah, everything should be under the chicken, for sure. Kidding. That's a joke. That is a joke. That is humor on the walk.
No, but it actually, in some cases, it's the truth.
Unbelievable. How many people don't understand that?
Mm-hmm. I've been into thousands of kitchens. Literally thousands of kitchens. Yeah. I mean, I'm doing this, what, 20 years in produce sales and distribution, right? And you got to figure the entire state of Florida, I've had to have 700 customers.
Right.
Right. And then you figure the ones you don't get, thousands of kitchens. I've seen some nasty, nasty, horrible things.
Yeah. So you know where not to eat.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. But, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, those people, I'm glad that there's people out there who their job is to find those places and air it out.
Yeah.
You know, I couldn't do it. I don't want to be,
rude
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I couldn't do it.
You know, I have to say that I haven't been in a kitchen yet as on the other side of this, on your side now, Carl, like being. You
we
know,
call that just dark side.
The dark side.
To the dark side.
I'm surprised at how many clean kitchens there are, though. I'll be honest. Like all of our clients are, they've got nice, you know, because they're also the clients who are willing to spend a little bit more on
true
good product,
and,
right?
And there's a reason for
that's
that.
Why.
If you're in a newer part of town, right? Like if you go, I shouldn't say this. I don't even know if I should say this, but. The older the city, the harder it's going to be to have everything beautiful.
Right.
It's just the way it is.
No, it makes sense.
Right. And and if you go to like, if you go to a particular area that, how do you say this? I'm not going to name what part of the state, where, whatever. I went to a country club one time. This is a long time. I went to a country club. And as I walked in the back door, you ever notice, like, you ever feel like things are, like, I felt off. You know, you remember the glasses where, you know, it's like you can see the like the 3D or whatever, but if you're not looking at the 3D thing, like you get
right, yeah.
As I was walking through the kitchen, I felt that. I'm like, what the? And I'm looking, and I start to focus in. They had a German roach problem where it was the floors, the side, the walls.
Was this in Weston?
No, I'm not going to say where, but where the guy was prepping. Cutting things. I remember what it was that he was cutting. It was probably, there were, he was just moving them out of the way.
Oh my.
It was so bad.
It must not be inspected or something.
I don't know. That's crazy. I don't know if it like the ground zero happened.
Because you'd be shut down. I mean, they
well,
see,
my
you
point,
know?
My what point now? Is yeah. Ground zero must have happened that day, like where the atomic roach bomb exploded in the kitchen right before I walked in because I can't
shut
imagine.
Shut it down, dude.
I walked out of there.
That's not something that just started. Either.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what's so messed up about it.
You know? If you're seeing them during the day, that's what we always learned is if you see one, you got a problem.
Germans, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, not you guys.
Goblin and
roaches.
Oh, my God.
We're going to go down that route.
But no. I backed out of that place fast. I was like,
wow,
let me get that.
Crazy.
Because, you know, they'll travel on you.
Yeah, yeah.
They'll get on you.
The health inspector now can shut you down for live flies. Yeah. One live fly. Oh, yeah. If they be shut down.
Yeah. Oh, fruit flies, even. Yeah. Fruit flies. They'll count them. Mm-hmm. They'll sit and, okay.
I have a friend.
Two roaches, you're done.
Yeah.
I have a friend.
It's true.
Her name is Carrie. She's really cool. And she has an awesome thing she does. She has a process where she swabs. Like, you can have the cleanest kitchen ever. You're like, look at me in my badass kitchen. Mm-hmm. She goes in, and in front of you, she swabs, puts it on the glass, on the micro, and you see it right then and there. It's scary.
Whoa.
Yeah. And so she shows you what you got, and of course, she's got the fix for it. But it's like, she's not a giant company. She, you know, I'm going to have her on the program, and I want to try to get her, you know, her.
It'd be great to have a health inspector on the program to, you know, talk about what their ins and outs are too. Cause sometimes chefs, we look at the health inspector. Like, I worked for a company. I was more afraid of my vice president coming in than the health inspector, because the way my bonus was based upon, you know, how clean and organized my kitchen was.
Yeah. Yeah.
The health inspector came in. I was like, you're easy.
Yeah. It was exactly the same way. Right. And in most of the kitchens that I've worked, you know, we would have independent auditors that were much more stringent than the state was. And
Sterotech.
It isn't that I don't like the health inspectors, but it's that every time, from a salesperson's perspective, every time I had an arranged appointment with a chef, I walk in.
Oh,
and
man.
The freaking health.
Yeah, because your day is done. Once they walk in, your day's done. You're with them all day.
Chef's like, hey, man, you know, sorry, but, you know, this guy showed up. And I'm like, this guy again?
Yeah.
Oh, man. It's like, what are you following me? You're on my route? What are you doing? You know what I mean? Like, you're ruining my life. Yeah. Anyway, I love you guys because you serve a purpose. But damn.
Yeah,
you
know? they are. They do serve a purpose. And I'm very happy with what the services they do.
100%.
But you're right.
Who inspects you guys at the farm? Is that Department of Business? Or?
No one, actually. There's no. Here's the thing with mushrooms that they realize is that if you're not clean, they ain't growing. That's what I'm saying. You have to be almost has to be a sterile environment. Until the very end, when you get it's really a 4-part process. I won't go and geek out on that too much here, but
if you do, you got to kind of like put on your dork voice and you know, you got to kind of talk like this.
But it's only until the very end where you're fruiting the blocks that you don't have to be as stringent about being sterile. So it's like, I think that they realize that they don't have to have a lot of regulation for it. If you can grow the mushrooms, you're clean enough. Now, Marvin was talking about doing some food safety testing and stuff, and we're doing that.
Good to have a document.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is if you want to start selling on a much larger level, you have to have some certifications just for your clients. And of course, we have like product liability insurance and stuff, but.
You have flood insurance? Because we learned that one for Hurricane Ian.
No, I can't. We don't, but, you know, it's interesting.
We got to connect it to our buddies at Straforia.
Yeah, definitely.
Down in Naples. Because they're a high-quality, smaller grower, farmer as well with the mushrooms. And with the Hurricane Ian, they got wiped out.
Three feet of water in their farm, in their warehouse.
That's sad. Yeah. We're having a problem getting arugula right now because all the fields got wiped out.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man, everything. Tomato, strawberry, everything. Everything was a mess.
Oh, I wonder how B&W, the watercress, right? Yeah. They didn't fare well.
Oh, wow. I forgot about those guys.
They don't have any arugula right now.
Has anybody ever did the B&W farm tour?
No, I haven't done it.
That is the coolest high-tech farm that I've ever been to.
Yeah, I've been. So it's amazing.
They had great products.
It's amazing.
Most of it goes to Europe.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, most of their watercress.
Do you remember the they have this conveyor belt, right? So you have all these little light pieces of lettuce, right? And there's this maybe, 5 to 7 foot conveyor belt. And all the lettuce is spread out across this thing. It has a computer. It catches the color.
Yeah, so if there's any yellowing.
If there's any discoloration, there's a little thing that goes, psst, psst.
And it blows it off.
Blows it right off of the conveyor belt.
Wow.
So cool, man.
It's impressive.
Yeah. Hey, B&W, if you're listening, you'd be a great
sponsor.
Great partner, show partner. I love what you guys do over there. All right.
You know what's, wait, before we go real quick, you know what's interesting? We're talking about molds and fungus, but there's so many things. And
I'm
so
a fungi.
Yeah, you are. There's so many other aspects of the culinary industry that these guys are touching upon. Like, I love koji. I don't know about you guys diving into koji, but that's something I want to work with some of the mushrooms as well.
Kojak is great. Who loves you, baby?
Koji.
Oh, koji. Okay.
Yeah, you're right. And there's so much opportunity there. It's mind-blowing. And just, I mean, in this whole business of curing and fermented foods and stuff, it's like, that's going to be take on a whole new, you know, I mean, it started, but you're right. Koji is something that's very fun.
Is this something else that you're going to pretend to make one day? And,
I don't pretend. I do it, bro.
Well, freaking call me, man.
I will. Oh, I'm not going to do it this week because it takes about a little less than a month.
Okay. All right. Well, in a month, you let me know.
Yeah.
All right. So, listen, everybody out there, thanks for listening today. I want to thank all my chefs here, Chef Jeffrey, Chef Cliff, and Chef Byron. You guys are awesome. I love what everyone's doing. Jeff, I appreciate you coming out on the show, what you're doing. Veronica, John, Willie, y'all are awesome. Thank you very much. We out.
Cool.
Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.
Get ready to innovate and organize your workspace with Metro. As the industry leader in storage and productivity solutions, Metro is here to transform and organize your kitchen. With their premium solutions, you'll experience the Metro difference. Metro's sturdy and versatile shelving units, workstations, holding cabinets, and utility carts are designed to streamline operations and maximize your productivity. Don't settle for imitators. Metro products last longer and offer unparalleled quality and durability. Plus, many customization options ensure that your workspace is tailored to your unique needs. Visit their website or contact them today to start designing your perfect space. Metro Shelving, your partner in organization and efficiency.
Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.